you that you need this message. I can't promise that the content is what you're hoping for. And just kind of let you know, I'm going to approach this message from our scripture reading from 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. I'm not going to expound on this scripture. This is generally how we proceed week in and week out. We take a look at scripture and we tear it up and we dive into it. We're trying to pull everything that's there for us. I'm not going to be doing that this week. I'm not even sure if I'm going to come back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 7 and read it again, which is something I hate. I kind of hate when the preacher gets up there. You know the classic evangelistic sermon? The evangelist comes up, he reads the text, he departs from it, and he never returns from it. You know, classic three-part sermon. I hate that, but let me share this. This is the foundation on which everything I'm going to speak about this morning is based upon. What I'm going to share with you, there's going to be other scriptures in here, but what I'm sharing with you is only true because all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Here it is, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And the topic at hand is the Holy Spirit and decision making. The Holy Spirit and guidance. The Holy Spirit and leadings. What is the will of God for me? That's the sermon you want to hear about, right? You want to know, what is the will of God for me? Well, I will break it down and say, the will of God for you is that you would be a man, a woman of God, complete. And that you would be equipped for every good work. No matter what decision you are faced with right now, no matter what's before you as far as diverging roads and you have to choose one, here's what God's will for you is, that you be complete, prepared for every good work. And it is the Word of God that the Holy Spirit uses to make you that kind of a person. And so here is the foundation of everything that we're going from forward with. And here's what I know. All of us, I know this about you. All of us have wondered at certain moments in our life, what exactly is God's will for me in this situation? Haven't you wondered that? You have wondered. And in those moments, I know this is true, in those moments, many of you have found yourselves consumed with fear that if you make the wrong choice, you're going to ruin it up for the rest of your life. You have feared that, haven't you? If we make the wrong decision, the rest of our lives, well, they're just kaput. And so we obsess. We obsess so much we make no decision. We become paralyzed about where are we going to do, what are we going to do tomorrow? Where are we going to go with our lives? If I make the wrong choice, what if I go to college A, but God planned for to meet my wife at college B? Does that mean that I'm going to be single for the rest of my life? And what if I make the right choice, but she makes the wrong choice? Can she mess it up for me too? This is real. And you know it's real, don't you? And it is tragic that we find ourselves approaching a good God who has done everything he can to reveal himself to us, and we live fearfully of somehow he's trying to withhold from us knowledge that we want, right? We only know him because he revealed himself to us. Why would he, after he had opened our eyes to his beauty, take information that we need to know and just persistently hide it from us? It's not the kind of God that we serve. We ought not to live in abject terror that we're going to make a wrong move that will stymie God for the rest of our lives. Let me just say this. If you write anything down, say this. God can't be stymied by my stupidness. He can't be stymied by a dumb decision that I make. He's bigger than my dumb decisions. He's bigger than that. But before we move forward to help us find some solid ground on how the Holy Spirit helps us make important decisions, and isn't that what you want? You want some solid ground on which to stand in your understanding of how the Holy Spirit helps you make important decisions. Before we kind of get that solid ground, I need to shake things up a little bit for you, because loved ones, for far too long, way too many of us have been leaning into the wrong thing when it comes to this subject of how the Holy Spirit reveals His will to us. For most of our lives, in fact, and the reason is this, we've been taught sometimes, not explicitly from pulpits or Sunday schools, but we've been taught in casual conversations more often than not to lean into the wrong thing. And that wrong thing is our own hearts. You have been faced with a decision at times, and you're trying to process through what is the right decision. Is it decision A or decision B, if you're lucky? If you're like most of us, is it decision A, is it decision B, is it decision C, is it decision D? It's nice when it's just one or the other, right? But here's what we've been taught, and we'll go to a loved one, or we will go to somebody who is a part of our circle of friends or a part of our congregation. We'll say, you know, I'm praying about this. Would you pray for me? And they will counsel you to lean into your own heart by asking you this: which one gives you the most peace? Haven't we been counseled that way? These decisions, which is the one where you find the most peace? And we're going to get to this. I'm not opposed to peace. In fact, I'm in favor of peace. Who's in favor of peace? Absolutely. We're all in favor of peace. The clue, though, that we're making the right decision, we reduce down to this. We're trying to find the peace of God that passes understanding, right? A gift that comes from God to us. And so when we're faced with decisions about a college or about a relationship or about a career or about a move, which one causes us restlessness? That can't be the Spirit of God, right? And which causes us the most peace, or perfect peace? That one has to be the Spirit of God, right? We've been taught these things. And loved ones, I'm here to tell you that that's not how the Holy Spirit works. That's not the baseline, the foundation of how the Holy Spirit works. It is part of how He works in our lives, but it is not the whole thing. We've been taught at least three things on this. If we are restless about a decision, then it isn't the Spirit of God. That's what we've been taught by saying, what do you feel about this? What is your heart saying to you? If you're restless, that can't be God. The second thing we've been taught is if we have peace on a particular decision, then it is the Spirit of God. And the third thing we've been taught on this topic is that we are in between decisions, and we need to make one now, then without a doubt, the one decision we need to make is the one that gives us most peace. That for sure is the Spirit of God. These are the things that we have been taught. And loved ones, because I love you, I'm going to tell you they are wrong. Do not lean into your own heart. Your heart will deceive you. Your heart will give you peace about a decision that God wants you to run away from. I want to be as honest as I can about this. So here it is. I am not confident that peace in your heart is proof positive that the Spirit of God is in something. I'm not only not convinced, I'm convinced that it may not be in many cases. And here's why. I have heard about lots of terrible and stupid decisions that children of God have made who at the time of making the decision were filled with an incredible peace about that decision. A decision that ended up being the ruin of their lives. In the moment they made the decision, they had perfect peace, and it was the wrong decision. Not only have I heard about these stories, but you have heard about these stories. Some of you have experienced these stories where you had a wonderful peace, only to find yourself shortly down the road, oh, that wasn't God at all. That was my own heart deceiving me. I have personally made some of my very best decisions when I was filled with fear and trembling. I will tell you, the decision to come to Calvary was one that was not accompanied by perfect peace. It was accompanied by fear and trembling, but also the genuine witness of the Spirit in my life that this was the decision. If I was looking for perfect peace, I wouldn't have come to Calvary. If I was looking for perfect peace, I wouldn't have gone to Caribou, Maine. If I was looking for perfect peace, I would have stayed in Westminster, lost my job there, and been working at a grocery store. That's what would have happened. The church I was working with was dwindling, and there would be no longer a job there. And then, as I look at scriptures, hear me, loved ones, I see that we have an enemy whose goal is to give us peace about decisions that will ultimately destroy us. Eve in the garden looked on the fruit, and it was desirable. There was no angst in Eve at that moment. It felt good, right? Satan himself will disguise himself as an angel of what? In order to convince you that a particular decision is the right decision. So we don't look into ourselves. We don't lean to ourselves. There is this. There is nothing. And I mean nothing in all of Scripture that tells us to look for peace in our hearts as proof that the Spirit of God is behind a particular decision. There is nothing. You can read it from Genesis through Revelation, and the Word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, will nowhere tell you to look into your own heart for peace as proof that God is in any particular decision. Well, what about Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, right? That's what this whole peace that passes understanding, this peace that God will give you if you're making the right decision, that's where this comes from. Well, let's take a look at it real quick as we move on. Chapter 4 and verse 6 and 7 of Philippians. Here's what the Bible says. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Here it is. Don't be anxious or consumed with worry about anything. Keep speaking to the Lord about your concerns. Keep praying to the Lord about the things that are a part of your life. In verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard like a sentry, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So here it is. This peace, this perfect peace that passes understanding, it is the result, hear me, it is the result of reflecting on God's fatherly promises to take care of us. The peace comes from an awareness of who God is, His care for us, and how He acts on our behalf. It's not a feeling that comes from inside of us. We don't look to ourselves to find a peace that will guide our steps forward. We look to a God who is sovereign and who is caring and who is working His will in us with confidence that as we go forward and as we make good decisions, as we make any decision, He is with us. He will care for us. He will provide for us. He will lead for us. It is the result, loved one, of trusting in a sovereign God who is in control. That's what the peace of God that passes understanding. That's where it comes from. It comes from looking up, not in. I have a decision to make. I'm not exactly sure what to do. But this much I know. If I have to make that decision tomorrow, God is with me. If I have to make that decision tomorrow, God is already there. If I have to make that decision tomorrow, God is more than able to guide my steps, to lead my mind, and to walk me down the road for His glory and for my good. Don't trust your heart. Don't lean into your heart. Look up. It is a result of trusting in the sovereign God who is in control. It is not proof that we've made the right decision. There's nothing in this passage, which is the only passage we base this on. You have a decision to make. Which one gives you the most peace? That counsel is a counsel to look inside of yourself, isn't it? Which decision are you most peaceful about? Well, if I look in and I follow the leading of my own heart, I guarantee you my life is going to be mess upon mess upon mess upon mess. It is not proof that we made the right choice. The peace of God, loved ones, hear me. The peace of God is given to serve us in difficulty. The peace of God is given to strengthen us when we are not restless, when we are restless. The peace of God is given to us to sustain us, to guard us, when we are tempted to believe that God is far from us, that He doesn't care about us, that He has left us on our own energy and strength. The peace of God is there to buttress us, to be a solid ground on which we stand, to be a covering under which we are sheltered. That's what the peace of God is. Do you have a decision tomorrow that is terrifying you? Your confidence isn't going to come from trying to strive to find peace. How many of you have been in that situation and never found it? Yeah. It is there to give you confidence that whether you choose college A or choose college B, God has a wife for you somewhere down the road, or He has the grace for you to live a single life for His glory with great joy. The peace of God comes to serve us and to support us and to build us up. It guards our hearts and minds. It is His gift to us. It doesn't guarantee that we won't have difficulty. So, all that being said, how can we grow in confidence that we are being guided by the Holy Spirit, not by ourselves? That's what we want to know. How can we have any real confidence that we are being guided by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of God, not ourselves? Well, here's what I want to do. I want to convince you of at least one thing. I want to convince you that 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 are real and that they are true. That the Word of God has been given to us to prepare us to be men and women of God who are fully equipped for every good deed. The Spirit of God, hear me, guides us primarily through His Word, the Bible. I'm not dodging the answer. I am assuring you that this is the case. The Spirit of God guides us primarily through the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, His Bible. The single most reliable guide to the will of God in your life is the Word of God that is before you. And if you're looking for a peaceful feeling in your heart and your Bible is closed, you're not going to hear the voice of God as regularly or as often as you want to. The vast majority of God's will for you, of what God wills for you to do, the very vast majority of it can be clearly found, articulated in the Word of God. Many of those decisions, what does God want me to do, is already clearly written in the Scripture. And if you're familiar with it, the Holy Spirit can easily, in a moment, quicken your mind with it. This is where the Spirit guides us. To obey His commandments, to adopt His values, to become the kind of people that He wants us to be. Is that the kind of person you want to be? The kind of person God wants for you to be? How do we know to get there? It's already here. And so it is that as a rule, the Scriptures are more specific, hear me, about the kinds of people God wants us to be than it is specific about the certain things or specific things, the what's and the where's, that we are to do different things. So as a result, so here it is. When you are the kind of person that God wants you to be, you're going to do what? The kind of things God wants you to do. Right? Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. It's not because He is changing His will for you. He is changing His desires. It's because you have become the kind of person who delights in the things that God delights in. And so you by nature do the things that please God. When you are the kind of person God wants you to be, you will do the kind of things that He wants you to do. When we think like God thinks, we will act like God acts. Now, there are three types of decisions that we make in relation to these things. I'm going to walk through each one of them real quick. There are righteous decisions. Sometimes the decisions that are before us are matters of righteousness. decisions that involve things that the Bible clearly reveals to either be right and therefore holy, or wrong and therefore sinful. The Bible has spoken about holiness, hasn't it? The Bible has spoken about sinfulness, hasn't it? See, the book of Proverbs calls the one the path of folly. And over and over and over, it guides us and says, don't walk down the path of folly. Don't walk down the path of unrighteousness, of sinfulness, of error, of wrongdoing. Don't walk down that path. And it speaks the other one of the way of wisdom. Righteous, good, and holy deeds are the path of, the way of wisdom. It is never God's will. Hear me, loved ones. It is never God's will for you to cheat in business. Nor is it His will for you ever to cheat on your wife or your husband. We don't have to ask about these things, do we? It is never God's will for you to put yourself in a compromising situation where you are likely to be tempted. It's just not God's will for that. You will find yourself in those situations without even trying, won't you? It's never God's will for you to put yourself in a situation where you're going to be tempted. It's never. It is never God's will for you to use your money selfishly. It is never God's will for you. And we can go on and on and on and on again, right? It is never God's will for you to lie. It is never God's will for you to steal. It is never God's will for you to murder. It is never God's will for you to covet. It is never God's will. God's word clearly tells us, don't do these things. It is always God's will for us to walk patiently and to be grace givers and to live in serving relationships with Him and with the people. It is always God's will for us to be loving and kind and generous, right? We don't have to pray about things. The Holy Spirit not only has spoken, the Holy Spirit is speaking these things into our very lives every single day. The Spirit has already directed us about them, and we have already, or we should have already been praying about them. We have already been praying and reading, and so we know what we should do. The prayer isn't, do I be generous or do I be stingy? The prayer is, Lord, give me grace to be generous. That's the prayer. In those situations where God has already clearly spoken about what is the righteous thing to do, we don't have to pray about what we do. We need to pray for strength to do what we know is the right thing to do, right? So decisions that relate are decisions of righteousness. And then there are decisions of good judgment. Judgment decisions. These decisions don't always deal specifically with a particular command of God. But that doesn't mean that there isn't a right decision. That doesn't mean that there isn't a right direction. That doesn't mean that choice A and choice B are equal. One can be a better decision than the other. In fact, one can be clearly what God wants for you. And the other would be one that God would like you to resist. Proverbs also is very helpful in this area. Proverbs speaks to us about this. How do you choose your circle of friends? When we're making decisions about who do we spend most of our time with, Proverbs is very helpful with us. What kind of people drag you down? You don't spend your most time with them. You don't cut them off entirely because you may be the means that God uses to speak grace into their lives. But if we spend only time with people who only bring us down or whose activities cause us to walk in a way of fleshly sinfulness, it would be wise for us not to spend all of our time with them. In fact, sometimes we need to cut ourselves off from people who are bad influences on us if we don't have the maturity to remain untarnished, right? Proverbs is clear about that. Proverbs helps us to choose our spouse. Proverbs even helps us understand how we might want to go about building a house. Chapter 24 and 27, Proverbs, and all the scriptures are there to give us guidance when we're facing particular decisions that may not be clearly, this is sinful and this is holy. It's a matter of wisdom. And how many of us, well, let me just ask, how many of you have more wisdom than the wisdom you have? Put your hands up. Yeah. I need more wisdom than the resident wisdom that I have within myself. And the scripture is there. And the Bible says if you lack wisdom, you can ask. And let me tell you where that wisdom's going to come. God's probably not going to sit down on a cloud in front of you and say, hey, Eddie, you're asking for wisdom in this area. Here's the wise thing. It's probably going to come from here in combination with a couple other things that we're going to get to. Although the Bible may not be have a specific thus saith the Lord, which is really how I would love it to be. Every time I have a decision, you know, it would be helpful if on the way home from church and I have my wife and my son in the car and say, hey, what would you guys like to have for lunch? Rather than not Mexican and I don't know food, if God was in there and said, thus saith me, go to Sullivan's and get the biggest steak you can have. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. My spirit is bearing witness. I have perfect peace about that one. It would be nice if when we have even the simplest decisions, there would be a loud thundering, thus saith the Lord, but that's not generally the way the Lord leads. Sometimes in a particular issue that we are dealing with right now. That does not mean, though, loved ones, that there is no helpful guidance for you in the scripture, because there is. For in many, many instances, there is wonderful guiding help for you in your area where you need wisdom today. Guiding principles that will help assist you in making the decisions that you need to make right now. God would not have you paralyzed between decisions. He wouldn't. Where He has clearly spoken, we simply follow. Where there are decisions to be made that are a matter of wisdom, we don't wait for thus saith the Lord. We resource ourselves with every good gift that God has given us to help us along the road. And then there's a third decision area. These are trivial decisions. Issues about which you don't need to spend a whole lot of time or energy about. Hear me, some decisions are trivial. Here's what you got to do with this. Some decisions are trivial. I kind of wish sometimes they were all trivial. And you don't need to spend a whole lot of energy on them. It doesn't matter if you clean the bedroom or the living room first. It doesn't matter. You might have a system that works for you. And you might think your system is superior to everybody else's. And those people who clean the bathroom before the living room, don't understand them. You might have a system, and you might be convinced, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you wash your plates or your bowls first. Again, if you have a system that works well for you, roll with it. I happen to be a bowl first guy. No kidding. If the light goes out in a lamp at your house, you are free to change it with a 40-watt, a 60-watt. You're no longer free to do it 100-watt incandescent because, you know, the government's died of force if we can't do that. But you're free to change the light bulb or ignore it until all the lights are out in your house and you can't see a thing, and then just do one big shot, right? Here's what I want, though. I want us all to be convinced. I want us all to be convinced that God is in charge of everything. Behind the scenes, He is sovereign and He is at work and He is with us as we make decisions that are decisions of righteousness, that we are making decisions that are about good judgments, and as we are making even trivial decisions, that He is at work behind us. He is involved. He is caring for us, confident that nothing large or small, hear me, will keep Him from providing for us and guiding us to be the people He desires for us to be. Confident that He has worked in big things and small things to get us to the place He wants us to be and to be around the people that He has chosen for us to influence. Why do I believe this so strongly, and why do I want you to be convinced? Because if you aren't convinced of this, you will not make any decision and you will miss the leading and the care and the help that God brings to you. And how do I know He's at work even when we don't know how to make a decision? If you were saved, it's because He called you and He was at work in your life. It's not because one day there was a decision that was placed before you. Am I going to pursue sin? The Holy Spirit brought you to that decision. And the Holy Spirit helped you make that decision, right? He was at work. You weren't on your way to the kingdom of God. You were on your way to the kingdom of darkness. And God intervened. And if He intervened in this one most precious, most serious area, why wouldn't He be involved with you as you make a pursuit of Him in righteousness? Why would He refuse to involve Himself when you're simply asking for some wisdom? Why would He stop being at work in your life now that He is the center of your life? I want you to be convinced that God is at work. He guided you to a place of salvation. And He is guiding you right now. And no matter when you have to make a decision, where you have to make a decision, what decision is about, He is with you and He is at work and His hand and His power are upon you. And so you can step back and release some of the angst and trust that He's going to lead you. Here's what I want. I want us to be confident. We should always make our decisions based on the best wisdom that is available to us at the time and trust that God, who is with us and who is for us, will take care of everything else. Sometimes we make a decision and the immediate aftermath is not marked by peace, but is marked by anxiety, right? That doesn't mean you're not on the way of righteousness. It doesn't mean that. Sometimes we will make a decision and the immediate aftermath, we're so peaceful. That does not mean that we aren't on the path of death. So if you want to know which grocery store to go to this afternoon, don't wait for a peaceful feeling in your heart. Get a paper, find out the best deals, and go shopping. I'm not being flippant. I'm serious. In many ways, God has already spoken. And that is for us to have peace and confidence. Would you like, though, in the midst of this, to have a promise that you can hold on to in relation to this? I hope you do, and I want to give you one. Here's some good news. God has attached truly amazing promises to the decisions that are made in line with the Scriptures. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. I would imagine a number of you have this one memorized. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not what? On your own understanding. Lean not into your own heart. Here it is. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Acknowledge Him in everything, and He will make straight your paths. If I am acknowledging Him in all my ways, you are acknowledging Him in all your ways. He has promised to be at work behind the scenes to direct your path. It's good news. Now, what does this have to do with God's guidance through the Scriptures? What does this have to do with 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17? Well, let me simply ask you, how does one acknowledge God in all of His ways? Where do we find the ways of God? This is how it's done. God hasn't made His will something mysterious that you can't find. Not some spiritual mumbo-jumbo. Not some goofiness. It is solid, it is tangible, it is real, and it is to be leaned into, and it is to be trusted. And where He hasn't clearly spoken, here's the truth. He has clearly spoken that He is with you. He has clearly spoken that He will never leave you. He has clearly spoken that He will never forsake you. He has clearly spoken that since He has given us His Son, that He will also, along with the Son, give us everything we need. And here's what we don't need. It would be nice. It would be nice if there was an audible, "Thus saith the Lord," every time you have to make a decision, right? That'd be nice. But that's not what we need. If it's what we needed, He would give it to us. This is what we need. We need to have faith, not just in what is written, but genuine, living, vital relationship with the One who wrote it. So that this isn't dead words, but it is life and truth and strength for us. your God. And let me say this. Do you have a decision to make? This week, the next month, the next year, do you have a decision you make? Let me assure you is this. God is supremely competent to guide you. Your God is endlessly compassionate towards you, so He will guide you, even at times when you are unaware that His is the hand that is moving you in the direction you're going. He has promised to get you where you should go. If you want to be in heaven someday, is your confidence in your ability to get yourself there, or is your confidence in His ability to get you there? Yeah, there and everything else. And these things are not based on our ability to follow. They are based on His commitment to lead. He is endlessly compassionate. And He is fully competent to get you where He wants you to be. And the primary way He's at work to do these things in your life is through the Scripture, day in and day out. Day in and day out. He is making you the kind of person He wants you to be so that you will do the kind of things He wants you to do. Hope this is comforting. I hope it's empowering. And I hope it doesn't sound trite. I hope it doesn't sound like a sidestep around how do we know the will of God. I hope to have shown you from Scripture that these are the ways God leads. He uses, here it is. Let's go through this real quick. Are you facing a difficult decision? Again, any decision. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. That's what you do. Don't lean on your own understanding. Rather, lean into the God who is willing to lead you. When God wants to give you special instructions in the application of His Word, special instructions, right? Specific instructions. He will make it reasonably clear, not always crystal clear, but He will make it reasonably clear exactly what He wants us to do, just as He did in the book of Acts. For example, God forbade Paul and Silas from carrying the gospel into Asia when they wanted to. He did that specifically by resisting them. He forbade them to go into Asia where they wanted to go. And didn't exactly tell us, it doesn't tell us at all how He forbade them. What it is that He did to prevent them from going in. We just know that they were forbidden. And then in a dream one night, Paul had a dream where he saw a call from Macedonia, come here and teach us the gospel. There was no thus saith the Lord on it, but they discerned that it was the Spirit of God. And so they went into Macedonia as opposed to where they wanted to go. Loved ones, if God wants you to choose house A and not house B, He can prevent you from having it. He can prevent you from purchasing a house. If you were willing to go along with His program, but here's the deal. Sometimes God is indifferent to house A and house B. He's giving you freedom to choose the house you want to live in. But if He is really passionate about it, He can keep you from going there. He can close doors, right? And He can open doors, right? So our confidence is in Him. But unless He breaks in with clear direction, we should make it our habit to follow the path of godly wisdom and making wise choice, the wisest choice we can, and trust that God is guiding us behind the scenes. Don't trust your heart, but at the same time, don't ignore it. But don't trust it. Trust God and use the ordinary resources that He has given you, and they are this, the Scripture. Your conviction. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? You can ask yourself that. It is entirely on the table. He has wired you in particular ways. The circumstance that you're in. Here's the deal. If you're making $30,000 a year and you want to buy a $3 million home, well, unless God gives you the money, it is not His will for you to buy that home. The circumstance is going to prevent that from happening. Who doesn't want the big house, right? And you involve godly counsel, the people who are around you who love the Lord and are serving Him. And so here's how God generally leads: conviction, circumstance, godly counsel, all under the direct guidance of the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit will use a combination of these things to effectively guide you. He will use these things to effectively guide you to His goodwill for your life. Is that what we want? Is that what we want? Amen. I have an addendum. Will you allow me 3 minutes? Too many of us don't want to hear God's will for us. We don't want to hear it. We have no interest in it. We only want for Him to affirm our desires. You may have a difficult time hearing the voice of God because you don't want to hear the voice of God. You just want for Him to affirm your desires. Let me say this, loved ones, the better paying job is not always God's will for you. The advance in your career is not always God's will for you. For pastors, the larger church that comes open is not always God's will for them. Where are the successful large church pastors who hear the voice of God to leave and to go to the middle of Kansas and pastor a struggling 50-person church? I know of one who's done that, but I can only think of one. For church members, a church with a more fully developed area of ministries, table of ministry, menu of ministries, is not always God's will. It may be the easy choice, it may be the more attractive choice, but it is not necessarily the will of God. It might be, but it isn't always the will of God. Where are the people where are the church members of small struggling churches when faced with a very attractive larger church will say, you know what? Maybe God has called me to that small church for such a time as this. We'll even pray, Lord, would you have me stay? Or would you have me go? Staying isn't always God's will, but leaving isn't always God's will. The boyfriend, girlfriend you want or even have may not be God's will for you. The wife you have, the husband you have, they are. The house of your dreams may not be God's will for you. I'm not saying that these things aren't God's will and won't be God's will, but I'm just saying that they might not be, and we ought to examine our own hearts when we have decisions along these lines. Here's the deal. If the Holy Spirit can't tap you on the shoulder to invite a filthy, dirty, smelly, homeless person into your recently detailed car because you don't want it to get gross, I'm going to tell you that recently detailed car is not God's will for you. If He can't tap you on the shoulder to dirty up the gifts that He has given for you, well, then those things have become idols that are ruling your life. They aren't gifts that have been placed in your hand for His kingdom. Listen to what Jesus says about His will in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. If anyone would come after me, let him what? Deny himself and take His cross daily and follow me. Can we honestly say that we are hearing this call even as we face decisions? Loved ones, I want to say this in closing, and we're going to pray. God is not hiding His will from you. He's not. He's not hiding His will from you. He's not going to do the old switcheroo on you. We know for certain. Here's what we know for certain, and there's more than this, but we know for certain that it is God's will for you to repent of sin and pursue righteousness, right? We know it's God's will to submit yourself to Him and to resist the devil, right? We know that it is His will for us to let our requests be made known to Him with thanksgiving. We know that that is God's will, right? To let it be made known with confidence. We know that it is His will for us to cast our anxieties, our care upon Him because He cares for us. We know it is His will for us to be still and know He is God. We know it is His will for us not to make provision for our flesh to do sinful deeds. We know that that is His will. And we know that it is His will for us to love Him with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. We know the vast majority of what God wants us to do, know and do. The decisions that you're going to make this week, 90% of them, you already know what you need to know to make the right decision in the moment. And the remaining 10%, we can trust Him with, right? Father, we thank You for making Your will known to us. And I pray for my brothers and my sisters. I pray for these friends in the faith. I pray for those who are right now faced with a very difficult situation, or maybe there is a list of very difficult decisions that they are trying to process through. And they're saying, Lord, would You show me Your way? Would You open my ears to hear Your voice? Lord, if You have a very specific path on which they to follow, Lord, I ask that You would make it reasonably clear the path that You have chosen for them. Where You have not already clearly spoken, where You have already clearly spoken, Holy Spirit, I pray they would experience Your power and Your voice clearly in those moments so that they would go down the path that leads to life and they would resist the path that leads to destruction. And if there's anybody in this room who has been wrestling with a decision for years, You have called them to cut off a particular relationship, but they so want it to be Your will. Lord, I pray that You would give them strength to cut that relationship off because it is for Your glory and it is ultimately for their good, that they would no longer hang on trying to redeem something that You won't redeem because it is sinful and it is wrong and it is destructive. At the same time, Lord, if You would delight in them to continue to walk down these paths, Lord, I pray, Lord, that You would give them a freedom to do so, and there would be joy as they walk hand in hand with You, as they walk experiencing the clear guidance and, yes, even the peace of God that passes understanding, as the Holy Spirit bears witness with their spirit that You are in these things. Help us not to lean into ourselves, Lord, but to look to You. Would You pray that? Lord, help me not to lean into myself, but to look to You in all of these decisions that I have to make. Help me not to look into myself, but to lean into You. And go ahead and pray that prayer around the decisions that you have to make right now.